One of the most challenging conversations that we as Catholics can have is with our brothers and sisters in Protestant communities about what goes on at the Catholic Church at Mass. You know, the conversation might go something like this, you know, do you people really believe that Jesus Christ is there? Isn't he in heaven? And I remember in my old days as an Episcopal priest, I remember having this conversation all the time, even in my own communion. When I was in Fort Worth, I had a wonderful assistant who was very, very low church. And he was so strong on this point that Jesus is not here. We began to say that you, my friend, believe in the real absence of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to rain on the parade of our brothers and sisters in the Protestant communities. That's not my purpose. But to remind us as Catholics, what do we actually believe about the presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist? It's tied so closely to the Ascension. The Ascension is an incredible moment that signifies to us how Christ is present in the Eucharist. It's very, very important. Because, you know, what in the Protestant reformers, when they thought about this question and were dealing with the way the Catholic Church believed that at the Eucharist, bread and wine is transformed into the body and blood of Christ, they would ask the question, but how? Because we have it on excellent authority that Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven. The disciples saw him go up on a cloud. And as he went, he said that he would come back again. And he would send the Holy Spirit in the meantime to give us comfort and encouragement and to strengthen us. But he will come back again. And until then, we're to have faith in him because his glorified body is way up there in the skies in heaven. And so how can the Catholic Church believe that Christ, who rules at the right hand of the Father, is here on the altar? And really, it's the mystery of the Ascension that helps unlock this wonderful mystery for us. The Ascension, you see, is a moment of profound consequence for the human race. Because when Jesus Christ was taken up and seated at the right hand of the Father, human nature, for the very first time, was brought into the inner precincts of heaven. Before that, we couldn't approach. We couldn't approach because we were created. We certainly couldn't approach because we were fallen in sin. But our humanity was remade in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of this new creation. And when he was ascended up into heaven, he brought us with him. He is our representative. He is our great high priest who has passed into the heavens and is pleading for us, interceding for us to God the Father. So the Ascension not only marks the return of the Son of God to heaven, to his eternal home, but it also marks the lifting up of humanity. To quote from one of the two great popes, I mean, there are a lot of great popes, but two have the title great. Maybe three, maybe we'll get John Paul soon. But Pope Leo the Great said, "With all due solemnity, we are commemorating that day on which our poor human nature, was carried up in Christ above all the hosts of heaven, above all the ranks of the angels, beyond the highest heavenly powers, to the very throne of God the Father. It's an extraordinary moment as he is lifted up, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are in him because he took on our human nature. We're with him. And can you imagine as Jesus Christ enters into heaven, enters into glory, now in his incarnate nature, fully God and fully man, and he marches past all the hosts of the angels, and he is brought to the very throne of God, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And there is our home, dear friends. We are there. That's where we're going. And already a little bit of us is there. And he is here in the Eucharist. He is here, and as we participate with him, he brings us into this wonderful communion with the Blessed Trinity. Our Pope Emeritus wrote a magnificent little book called Jesus of Nazareth. Actually, it's three little books on the life of our Lord. And at the end of the second volume, Pope Benedict was reflecting on the Ascension. And he said something that has always stuck with me. It just seems so true. He was commenting on how St. Luke described what happened as Jesus was going up to heaven. After Jesus was parted from the disciples and taken up into heaven, the disciples returned to Jerusalem. And St. Luke says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why did they return with great joy? Because as we know, every time we have to say goodbye to someone we love, when they get on the plane or on the train or in the car and leave our physical presence, I mean, there's a little sadness that goes with every journey like that, every parting. Even when our mothers-in-law leave, I live in Texas, so that's all I got to say. But Pope Benedict says, notice here, this is all different. The disciples do not experience sadness. They do not feel abandoned. They do not feel left behind. The Ascension is not about Jesus departing to a distant place at the far edge of the universe, but it is a continued closeness that the disciples now experience. It is a closeness so intense, so strong, that it becomes for them a source of lasting joy. Do you know what they're saying here? What St. Luke is basically saying, Pope Benedict says, is this is the moment when they understand how Jesus has promised to be with them always, in faith for sure, but in reality as they meet together and celebrate the Eucharist, the mass of his body and blood. You see, the clouds represent Jesus' departure, not as a journey to the stars, but it is his entry into the mystery of God. Clouds symbolize that in the Bible. It is Jesus' entry into full communion with the living God. And it means for the disciples that Jesus has become continually present to them. He is more real, he is closer to them now than he ever was when he was walking with them in the Holy Land. That's the beauty of it. You know, don't you ever wonder sometimes, wouldn't it be great if we could have lived back then and walked with Jesus and ate with Jesus and cried with Jesus? Yes, it would have been, but it wouldn't be as good as the experience of knowing and being with the risen, glorified Lord in the sacrament of his body and blood. Because something is different now. Something has changed. Before, we could only gaze in hope and faith on Jesus. But now, because he has led our humanity, he has taken our humanity to God, we now have the approach, the avenue. St. Augustine said, here's the secret to knowing about Jesus Christ. We go through him, to him. Now, that's a very profound and very simple statement. We go through him because Christ, in his human nature, makes it possible for us to approach him, to be with him. He's present to us in the sacraments. In baptism, we're incorporated into his glorified human nature. In the Eucharist, it is the opportunity to partake, to commune with his human nature. And because he is perfectly God and perfectly man, we go through his human nature to his divine nature. You see how that's how he brings us into full participation with God. And the ascension is absolutely critical for this story. Because remember when, on the first Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, and there she sees Jesus. He is alive, and she is so happy. She wants to run to him and embrace him and hug him and smother him with kisses and expressions of love. And he says, "Do not touch me, Mary, because I have not yet ascended." There's such a profound mystery in Jesus' speech with Mary Magdalene here. Don't touch me yet until I have ascended, till I have brought you and your humanity before the blessed God, the living God, the blessed Trinity. Once that happens, then you can approach me and have this full participation and communion that our hearts so earnestly desire. So the ascension inaugurates the sacramental presence of Christ with his people. By faith, we attach ourselves to Christ in his humanity, and he brings us into the presence of God where his fullness is. We have this great high priest who has passed into the heavens, and so we hold fast to our confession of faith. One last thing that something has always meant a lot to me. Those of you who've had the privilege of making a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, if you think about it, you probably don't remember going to the actual place where Jesus was ascended. Because we actually don't know where that place is. We know it's on the Mount of Olives, but Christians have never been too sure about where it is. In the early church, they commemorated it at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. The emperor's mother, Helena, built a beautiful church there called the Eleona. Today it's still there. We commemorate Christ giving to us the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Pater Noster Church. But by the end of the fourth century, the Christians had decided, you know, it probably wasn't here. Let's go on up further toward Bethany, up higher on the hill, on the Mount of Olives. Then they would worship and commemorate the ascension in an outdoor space. Eventually, somebody built a nice church around it with an outdoor courtyard where the Christians would come and they would gather around in the courtyard to commemorate the ascension. And then the Crusades came and Christian presence in the Holy Land was basically obliterated. And a mosque was built in that place. And for 1,000 years, Christians have not used that as a pilgrimage site. There's something really profound in this. Because, you know, those other holy sites where we go and we pray, Bethlehem and Calvary and the Mount of Olives and the beautiful resurrection in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, all that's so beautiful and wonderful and moving. But when we think about where did Jesus Christ actually ascend? Well, it's in your hearts. It's in the Eucharist. That's the beautiful thing about this, that it's not a physical place. It's a place in our hearts. It's in the hearts of the faithful people. When Luke described how Jesus went up, he as he went up into the clouds, his hands were over the people in blessing. And it was not as if he was saying, goodbye, goodbye. I'm trying to remember my Shakespeare, parting is such sweet sorrow. You know, I'll be back someday. That's not what he's doing here. As he blesses them, he is pledging them, I will be with you always. And it is in the Eucharist, above all, the source and summit of the Catholic faith, it's in the Eucharist that we have this participation with Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, it's the sacrament of joy. The Eucharist is the sacrament of joy because this is how the disciples experienced him as they left him. As he went back into Jerusalem, they rejoiced with great joy because he was present with them now in a way that is deeper than anything they experienced before. And my last comment is to you is just as a word of encouragement. When you come to receive the Blessed Sacrament, come with joy in your hearts. You can even come with a smile on your face. Now, if you've had a particularly bad time of it and you feel really heavy in your hearts, you bring that with. Because Jesus wants you to offer that up. But come, if you're in an ordinary way, come with joy and not with a frown. Priests love it. They just love it when the people come forward with a smile on their hearts to receive the risen Lord. And the best thing, the absolute best thing about being a priest is the privilege of being a part of that communication of the Lord's presence to the people. I know when I give communion to people, I think, now how would Jesus want me to behave at this point? And it makes me just, it sort of puts a poker in my back to stand up and remember that I have the privilege of presenting and representing Christ to the people. And if Jesus came right now, as he is going to come right now, to greet you as his people, he would come with a smile on his face, and you would receive him with a smile on your face. So, dear friends in the faith, remember the Eucharist is the sacrament of joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.